most well-known story, oftentimes, of course, confused with the Christmas story itself. But as we know, the church has separated the two celebrations, Christmas and Epiphany, because we do know that the wise men were not there on that first Christmas night, as were the shepherds. The wise men came sometime after. And we're not exactly sure who these wise men were. The Greek word here that describes them is simply the word magi, and you will see that word from time to time in English translations. In our reading this morning, the word was translated as wise men from the east. Magi, what we do know for certain about magi in general, they come from Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and they were very, very learned men. They were indeed wise men, at least wise as is judged by the world standards. They studied a number of different things, and they were conversant in a number of different areas. And one of those areas, of course, was astronomy. Now, please understand what I just said there, not astrology, which is something different than astronomy. Astronomy is, of course, a study of the stars and their movements and the like. And thus, it is only natural, I suppose, that the wise men, these magi, in studying the stars and the constellations of the sky, saw a new star that had appeared in the constellation that governed Israel. And in the ancient world, the appearance of a new star in a constellation signaled to them the birth of a king. That was the belief. And so upon seeing this star, whatever it was, in that constellation governing Israel, the wise men, the magi, set out for Israel to celebrate the birth of this new king. And it is only natural, of course, that the wise men go, first of all, upon arriving in Israel, to the palace of the king. Because, of course, future kings are born to current kings. It only makes sense. And thus it is they go to Herod and basically ask Herod, where's your new son? Where is he? We have come to worship him. We saw his star. We know he's here. But of course, Herod did not have a new son. And Herod, we know from history, was a very, very paranoid individual. He was always suspecting someone of moving against him, plotting against him. And so it is that Herod had many of his own family killed, including one of his wives, because he was certain they were plotting against him. That's just the kind of guy he was. So for a paranoid individual like Herod to hear that the wise men had come to worship a newborn king, that set his paranoia raging. That's why, of course, the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod and tell him where the child was. Because God knew that what Herod would do in his paranoia. So the wise men didn't return to Herod. They showed some wisdom there and followed their dream. Very, very learned men come to the child, Jesus. We call them wise men, and the question this morning is why? What makes the wise men wise? Is it their worldly learning? Is it the fact that they were knowledgeable in a number of different areas, far more than the common individual in their day and age? Is it because they were astronomers and they understood the movements of the planets and the stars? Very possibly. But rather than seeking to find an answer to that question in their academic training, I think it may be more beneficial to you and to me to consider this question in light of what it is the wise men did. Not what they knew, not what they had learned, but what they did. And what is it that they did? They traveled to a distant country from their own to worship a child and to present gifts to that child. The wise men came, we are told by Matthew, and when they found the child, they worshiped him. Step number one in their wisdom. They came and they worshiped a child. Maybe an infant. As I said before, we don't know exactly how long it was after Jesus' birth that they arrived. It could have been up to 2 years. That's why Herod had boys, male children, 2 years and under killed, you see, in Bethlehem. They are wise because they come to worship a child. And here is a great lesson for you and for me in this act of devotion by these men. Stop and ask yourself the question, what could this child give to these learned men? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The child was not in a position to grant them any of their heart's desires. The child was not in any position to grant them any kind of material possessions. What indeed could a baby give to them? And yet this does not stop the wise men from coming and worshiping this child. A great lesson to be learned by many in our day and age, because, let's face it, the worship of Jesus Christ, the man, the grown man, is performed by some with the ultimate end of the task being that this man give them what they want. Many worship Jesus in our day and age because of what they think they can get out of him. No matter what that is, but not these men. They come and they worship a child because the child is who he is. For no other reason. The child can't give them what they want, what they desire, what they look for. But the child deserves their worship. They know because he is who he is. In spite of the fact that he was born to peasant parents, in spite of the fact that he was born and laid in a manger, in spite of the fact that he had none of the accoutrements of luxury of the day, this child is worthy of their worship. They realize it. And that, you see, is why we worship our Savior today. Not for what we think we can get out of it, but because he is who he is. And because he is who he is, he deserves our worship and our praise. What makes the wise men wise? They saw this, and they acted upon it. But not only that, we are told that the wise men, the Magi, brought gifts to the Christ child. Gold and frankincense, as we heard, was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. And myrrh, which was a resin that was used for burial rites. But the giving of gifts in the ancient world signified but one thing. And this goes from earliest times in the Old Testament right on up to the current time of the wise men's visit. With submitting gifts to someone else, one was vowing allegiance to that individual. The wise men not only come and worship the child because the child is who he is, but but they vow allegiance to him in bestowing upon him the gifts that they did. These were indeed wise men. They realized who this child was, the Christ child of God, even though they were Gentiles. These men realized that all of the wisdom that they had accumulated during their lifetime, academically, was nothing, absolutely nothing, in the face of the wisdom of God that they found in that little child. What makes the wise men wise? Not their academics, their worship, and their allegiance to a child they did not know, but yet knew at the same time. Amen.